Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. My name's Michelle Cashatt. I'm your co-host today. And joining me in this conversation is my friend, Michael Hyatt. Hey there, Michael.
Hey, Michelle. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Great. Awesome. It's raining here, but it's okay.
Well, I've been in California. I'm actually recording from my friend Kathy Lipp's podcast studio. So you'll see a different background behind me for those who are watching. But I came to California and I have not seen the sun yet. It's been raining for 3 days. That seems wrong.
I know. Did you leave the snow, though, in Denver?
Well, you know, we like to pretend like it's super snowy in Denver. So that way it keeps people from moving there. But it's actually quite beautiful.
It is. I've been there when it's beautiful.
It is. It's lovely. Well, today we're talking about blogging. And so many people, I've heard so many people speculate that perhaps blogging is dead. However, it's not dead. In fact, much to the contrary, it's very much alive, very successful, has tremendous power for influence. However, what I would say, and I want to see if you agree or not, that bad blogging is dead.
Definitely. And the reason it's dead is because there is more competition. The bar's been raised. You know, the days when you could just get on and write about whatever you wanted to write about or show cat pictures or, you know, talk about what you had for lunch or breakfast or whatever, you know, those days are gone. So you're exactly right. Bad blogging is dead. Thank God. Rest in peace.
Exactly. But that means that none of us can slack when it comes to blogging. We actually have to write content, which is so important. And that's what we're going to talk about today. It's your advice to new bloggers, 8 steps to success. And if you're a first-time blogger considering the possibility, we want to make the process as easy as possible for you. But even if you're someone who has blogged consistently for a long amount of time, I have found personally that I can slip into bad habits very easily. And so this is a great refresh for you to re-engage with really what makes for a successful blog. And there will be things throughout this entire program that Michael will offer that you can tweak to make your blog even more impactful. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. And you've had a little bit of experience. By the way, before we dive into the content, how many years have you been blogging now?
I've been blogging since 2004. So what's that? 12?
That's a long years? Time. All I know is it's a long time. I think I must've been in like second grade. I don't know. Oh, wait. I'm a little bit older than that. All right. So let's dive in. You're going to give us 8 steps to success. What is the first step to having a successful blog?
Well, you got to determine your focus. You know, what is it that you're going to blog about? And I want to talk about 3 possibilities. One is, this is approach one, and this is fine if you're going to be a hobby blogger, not a professional, but if you're going to be a hobby blogger, just write on whatever happens to interest you at the moment. You know, could be your family, could be what you ate for lunch, could be a run that you took, but that's approach number one, is just use it as a web journal, which is where the whole, web blog, you know, that's where blog came from. So if that's all you want, then that's a fine approach. Doesn't really work if you've got serious aspirations. If you really want to build an audience, that's probably not going to work, you know, unless you're the Kardashians.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're already famous and have millions of followers and you have a very weird life, then that works perfectly.
But yeah, exactly.
For the average person, not so yes. Much.
So approach number two is have a single focus, the narrower the better, and really stick to it. And frankly, this takes a tremendous amount of discipline. But it's probably the best choice because you get people that are coming to your blog and they know exactly why they're coming to your blog. So that's the second approach. The third approach is really the one I take, which lets me have a primary focus and then deviate from it from time to time. So I tend to write about the various aspects of leadership. And for me, that comes into some subcategories or some subtopics, which would be self-development, productivity, leadership, and influence. And occasionally I'll deviate from that. Occasionally I'll write something about the family, or I'll write something about some sporting event, but I usually try to tie it back into leadership so that it can tie to my theme more closely.
Okay.
So determine your focus is the first step.
And when it comes to this first step, how much time does that usually take for somebody to determine their focus?
Well, a lot of people know just straight out of the gate. You know, they know that they want to write, for example, on time management, or they want to write on eating local, or, you know, recipes for gluten-free, you know, feasts. They know what they want to write out from the get-go, and they've got a good focus. I think for the rest of us, we kind of have to experiment. I would start with what you're passionate about. You know, what do you find yourself researching on the web? Give an example. So I got this new iPad Pro 9.7 inch the other day, which is the brand new iPad. The thing that makes this one different is that you can use the Apple Pencil with it. And for the longest time, I've had this dream of being able to take notes on my iPad. And I tried all the styluses that came out with the previous editions, and none of them really worked for me. So I got the Apple Pencil. And then the first question I asked was, what are the applications that support taking notes with the Apple Pencil? So I was really passionate about this. I went on a quest, and earlier this week, or I guess it was end of last week, I reviewed 7 different applications that I researched and the one that I chose to use. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes. But that was my passion. I was writing out of something I was researching that I cared about. And that's one of the ways to discover your passion and your focus. What do you spend your time researching? What do you spend your time daydreaming about? What do you spend your time talking to other people about? What if you could talk about that on your blog? And I think, Michelle, if I just go on for just a second, I think sometimes we have the curse of familiarity. You know, we think that because we know something, because we're familiar with something, that everybody must know that nobody would have any interest in it. It's amazing how many of us have a hidden expertise that we're not aware of. Things that people would actually pay us money or certainly pay attention to if we would just share the resources of our knowledge and experience. So ask yourself the question, what are people coming to you for? What are people asking you about? What do people notice that you're good at? Well, that might be a very good theme or topic for your blog.
That's such great advice. Just to be, I mean, really what you're saying is for us to be to pay attention. You know, pay attention to what we're already doing rather than trying to come up with something new. And I think many times, I do a lot of coaching with speakers and writers, helping them try to find what their message is. And many times it's right under our nose and we're missing it.
Yeah, so true. And sometimes other people around us can see it better than we can see it for ourselves. And so just to ask the question, you know, have you noticed anything that I'm good at, or where do you see my expertise? And not be afraid to ask that question and see what people tell you.
Absolutely. And maybe ask somebody other than your mother, because she's going to think you're good at everything.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. First step, determine your blog's focus. What is the second step?
The second step is you've got to select a service. I mean, you got to get really practical. You know, are you going to select WordPress? That's one I talk about a lot, but there's others out there. There's Typepad. I think Blogger is probably still out there. Squarespace. There's a bunch of them out there. Bunch of different services. And the only one I recommend is WordPress. I recommend it because it is pretty much ubiquitous. You know, it's everywhere. It's been battle tested. I've used it for now almost a decade and I absolutely love it, but you have to know that it comes in 2 different flavors. So there's what's called hosted WordPress, where you don't have to think about setting it up. All you got to do is sign up and you're ready to go. You know, WordPress itself as an organization is going to handle all the details of hosting. If you're going to be a hobby blogger, somebody that's just going to experiment with it, that's where I would start, because it requires the least technical capabilities. It's the easiest to understand. The only problem is it doesn't give you a lot of control. There's not much customization you can do. There's more than there ever has been, but it's still not as customizable as what's called self-hosted WordPress, which you can find at wordpress.org. Now, it does take a little technical know-how, but not that much.
We've talked about this before. I'm not super technical. I'm kind of a hack. I can do some, but not super technical. And yet I can handle WordPress.org.
Yeah. And so that's the one I really recommend. If you think you might want to go pro or semi-pro, or you just want to be in control of all this stuff, like which theme you use, and you may want to customize the theme to your own liking, then I would start with WordPress.org. And one of the best ways to do that is to go watch the screencast that I've done on basically how to set up a self-hosted WordPress blog in 20 minutes or less. I walk you through it click by click, step by step. It's idiot proof, I guarantee you.
Anyone, okay, but really 20 minutes or less?
Yes.
Do you follow through on that promise?
Yes. Okay, get this. I've had over 12,000 people take that screencast and sign up for Bluehost, which is the service I recommend. Sign up for that and use it and get started. Again, 20 minutes or less, you're on your way.
That's great. I love that. Okay, so first step, determine your blog's focus. For some of you, you already know what that is. For many of you, it may take you some time and experimentation. Second, select a service. This is where we're getting very practical. What is the third step?
Yeah, go ahead and set up your blog. You know, you just got to take action. And I know people that wait around planning, and never take the big step. So again, the very first place to start, how to launch a self-hosted WordPress blog in 20 minutes or less. We'll have a link in the show notes. But then one of the first things you've got to do is, once you do that, is you've got to decide on a theme. Now, here's the cool thing about WordPress. Themes are kind of interchangeable. So there are thousands, tens of thousands of themes out there. In fact, you could spend a lifetime just researching themes. And a lot of people do this rather than write. You know, they go out there in the search of the perfect theme. And it's a whole lot easier than writing. You could spend forever doing it. But the good news is there are a lot of really great themes out there that are professionally created that will give you your own look and feel. The one I recommend, and this, you know, sounds like I'm self-serving here, and I guess in a sense I am, but I developed my own theme. And what happened was I got frustrated with the themes that were out there that didn't seem to be written by bloggers for bloggers. And so I took everything that I was creating, and I was paying a guy to do all this customization on my theme. And after a while, it was unrecognizable from the original theme. We realized we had created an entirely different theme. So then we rewrote the thing from the ground up. Again, it's called Get Noticed Theme, and you can find it at getnoticedtheme.com. It's what I run on my site today.
It runs on my site too. So if somebody wants to check out somebody that's not you using your own theme, they are welcome to check out mine to see how we've used Get Noticed on an individual site. So,
yeah, and so it's built specifically for bloggers. There's a lot of other ones out there that you can get, like Woo Themes, Elegant Themes, Studio Press. Those are other theme companies. But again, this is written by a blogger for bloggers. It has things like mini posts, like if you don't want to write an entire blog post and you just want to link to a video, or if you want to have a quote, or you want to have an image or a photograph, we've got post types that allow you to do all that simple stuff. You can embed videos easily. There are share icons that you can use so people can easily share it on Twitter and Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, whatever your favorite service is. But again, we've made it simple, but you're going to need a theme regardless. WordPress.org, it comes with a couple in the box, so to speak, but they're really plain.
Yeah,
you know, that's going to be one of the first things you want to
dress up. It's a little bit of an investment to get something somewhat unique. You know, like you mentioned earlier, you don't want to spend more time doing this than actually writing content, because that is point of the blog. But it's worth a little bit of an investment to find a good, solid theme, not only for aesthetic value, but also that's user-friendly for you as a blogger. And just to confirm what Michael said there, you know, as a user of the Get Noticed theme, it's so user-friendly and very easy for me as a blogger to use every single day. So determine your blog's focus, select a service, set up your blog. What's the fourth step?
The fourth step is to write your very first post. This might be the most difficult step, especially if you're not used to writing. So what I want to suggest is a couple of things. Is one, keep that first post short. You know, there is some real value in writing these lengthy, well-researched, authoritative posts. Google seems to be giving a lot of juice to those today. But this will become for you, if you're not careful, if you haven't written a lot, it'll become a rock that's too big to lift. You know, it just becomes a project that's too big. So write your first post, 500 words or less. Now, Seth Godin, who's one of the most popular bloggers on the internet, still writes, for the most part, 99% of the posts he writes are less than 500 words, some of them less than 300 words. So you can say something important, pithy, memorable, all the rest in 500 words or less. But you want to be able to develop your momentum and get the hang of it. And so I would stick to what you know. At the very least, if you don't know what to write, talk about your aspirations for the blog. You know, welcome to my blog, and here's what I plan to cover, you know, over the course of the next several weeks.
Have you noticed that people with that first post get almost paralyzed because they're afraid of pigeonholing themselves in a certain subject and they're not quite sure that's what they want their blog to be about? What would you say to them?
Anything can be corrected on a blog. This is the thing I love about blogging, Michelle. I came from the world of book publishing. You know, if you had a typo or an error or a misquote or a misstatement in a book, that book is pretty much out there forever. Yes, you could correct it in a subsequent edition, but that first edition is out there forever with the gaffe in it. But with blogging, you can correct anything. You could, I mean, this happens to me frequently where I publish something in the morning and a reader will point out a typo that we missed or a link that's broken and we just go in and fix it on the fly. The other thing too is that you can change your focus over time. Now, this is a little embarrassing for me to admit, but I've changed the focus of my blog a number of times. So when I first started blogging, my blog was called Working Smart. And it was still under all under michaelhyatt.com, but kind of the sub theme was Working Smart. And it was all about productivity, all my different productivity hacks. And then I wrote about that for a while. And then I became the COO of Thomas Nelson. And I was learning a tremendous amount about leadership. And so I had decided to write about what I was learning. And so then the focus of the blog changed to that. And for a while, it was about publishing. And today, it's really more about personal development and platform building, still kind of under general and generally under the heading of leadership. But the amazing thing was that even though I didn't stick to one focus, even though I changed, even though there were posts that I wrote that I wasn't particularly proud of, you have the opportunity over time to keep getting better, keep changing your blog, keep improving it, keep narrowing in on your focus. And it's a work in process. I think that's my favorite part about blogging.
The worst thing that a blogger could do, really, I think, is to be so paralyzed and panicked that they don't write anything. You know, right. They just kind of shut down. So, and as a writer, and you know this, Michael, that the only way to get better at writing is to write. So, and the same is true for blogging. The only way to get better at blogging is to blog. And so that's going to require falling flat on your face sometimes. It just is. So, but like you said, the beautiful thing is you can always correct it on the blog. That's what makes it so fabulous. It's a little hard.
I'm reminded of something our friend, our mutual friend Joy used to say, borderline inappropriate, but I'm gonna say it anyway. She'd say, "Don't worry, be crappy."
Oh yes, I love that phrase of hers. It's so good because I'm the neurotic one that would be too afraid to do anything. So Joy would remind me quite often, Michelle, don't worry, be crappy.
Yeah, just get something out there. You can tweak it and you can improve. And we have the same philosophy when we create courses. You know, the first edition of it, we do the best we can, but we know it's not going to hold up to how it's going to be 2 or 3 years down the road. We're going to constantly improve it. So
absolutely,
same thing with blogging.
Such good advice. Okay, so we've gone through 4 of the 8 steps to success on a blog. This is for both first-time bloggers as well as established bloggers. We can use some of these tweaks and advice for any of us. But the first step is determine your blog's focus, which I loved it even as permission to change that over time. I think we're so afraid that once we establish a focus that we can't deviate from it. And yep. So that permission is so freeing. So determine your blog's focus. Select a service, set up your blog, write your first post. We have 4 more of these 8 steps to launching a successful blog. Before we do that, though, Michael, you have something to share with us.
Yeah, I want to tell you about a new video series that we've just released, and it's about building a following online. So for those of you that are trying to do that, or for some of you that have thought about doing that, whether it's blogging or podcasting or vlogging or anything else, there's a major shortcut you can take, and we teach you about it in a 3-part video series called Skyrocket Your Impact Online. And in this series, you're going to learn 8 simple tweaks of how to massively blow up your blog traffic, have more impact, and create more of a relationship with the people you're trying to reach. And in fact, one of my favorite parts about this video series is that we take an ordinary couple that started out blogging. We took their platform before we got involved. We show you exactly what it was. We critique it. And then we take our team and transform it. We do a makeover before your very eyes. And then we talk about several months later what the impact was of those simple changes. And the great thing about these 8 changes, Michelle, is that anybody can do them. And they're all contained in these 3 free videos. It's part of our Platform University spring enrollment campaign.
And so when you say anyone can do that, do you mean somebody like me could do that?
Anyone. I mean, let's get
even
crazy.
A caveman anybody can do it. Even Michelle Kashat could do it. That's what
even
you're saying.
Michelle.
I will not take offense to that. I will just sign up. How's that?
Excellent.
Once again, this is a free resource that Michael and his team are offering to you. You don't want to miss this. There's really no reason for you to say no to this opportunity. Simply go to platformuniversity.com/skyrocket. That's platformuniversity.com/skyrocket. And you can have access to these free, these 3 free training videos where you can learn these 8 simple tweaks to blow up your blog. And by blow up, we mean not combust, but actually help it to expand.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah, I think that's kind of important. We need to clarify. All right. So today we are talking about 8 steps to success. How this is basically Michael's best advice to bloggers for how you can establish a blog. Now, we started this whole episode talking about how some people believe blogging is dead. I fully disagree with that. Michael fully disagrees with that. We started out by saying that bad blogging is dead. So Michael is here today to help you skip over bad blogging and make sure that you're doing it right. And we've given you the first 4 steps. Now we're going to get into the next 4. What is number 5?
Number 5 is to consider using an offline blogging client. Now, within WordPress itself, you can blog right there. You know, it's got an editor. You can create a new post, and inside of the editor, you can blog there. I find that kind of to be a distracting environment. There's a lot of other stuff that gets me distracted by it. So I use an offline blogging client. And what I mean by that is kind of like a word processor, but specifically designed for bloggers. Some people just use Microsoft Word. You know, they use Word for everything and they use it for blogging. I don't recommend that, because Microsoft Word contains a lot of embedded formatting that when you try to paste it into WordPress can kind of gunk up the post. So that's not the most efficient. Some people have workarounds for that. If you're using that and it's working for you, fine. You know, there's not one size fits all. I'm going to tell you what I use. I use an application called Byword, Byword. Now, some of you who followed me for a long time say, wait a second, I thought you used Scrivener for everything. Now, I do use Scrivener for long-form writing. So if I'm writing a long magazine article, or if I'm writing a book or a booklet, then I'll use Scrivener because it's got the heavy-duty tools that I need for writing. But for a blog post, it's kind of overkill. It'd be like me taking a 747 from Franklin, Tennessee, where I live, to Nashville. You know, I don't need that big of an airplane. I don't need any airplane. I can go in my car.
I just have to stop because that was such a great metaphor. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. So Byword is a Mac client, and I'm going to give you some Windows ones here in a second, but I like it because it's one of these super simple interfaces. There are other ones like it, like IA Writer is another one that's really popular, but it also allows me to write in something called multi-markdown, and I don't want to get too geeky. Some of you guys know what that is. If you don't worry about it, but it's the most natural way to write, and it's simple to write in that way. My son-in-law, Joel Miller, who works for my company and is our chief content officer, he writes in Evernote. You know, he writes in multi-markdown, but he does it in Evernote. And then he just copies and pastes from Evernote into WordPress or to whatever application or whatever he's using. But I find that Byword is terrific. It will publish directly. You can click the publish button and it will publish as a draft to WordPress. So get a writing environment that makes it easy for you to write. And I promised some Windows options. Windows Live Writer, which is a Microsoft product, is terrific. And I'm not in the Windows world. So some of you guys who know better ones, I'd love to hear from you in the comments. But also BlogJet is one that I used and is still working for Windows. That was one that I love that's been around for a long time. Mars Edit is another one for Mac that I used to use, But again, I just like Byword because it's just super simple, uncluttered, no distractions. It just allows you to do what is most important to succeed as a blogger, and that's to write.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to make sure to have links to some of those potential offline blogging clients available to you in the show notes of the program. So if you miss those, just check out the podcast at michaelhyatt.com and you can see those in the show notes. Okay, so consider using an offline blogging client. What is the sixth step?
The sixth one is add the bells and the whistles, but you got to be very careful about this. One of the great things about WordPress is that it's so customizable that there are tens of thousands of free plugins, paid plugins, stuff that can spice up your blog and make it do things that WordPress doesn't do natively. And WordPress was designed for that capability. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you want to make sure that you've got good SEO, you know, search engine optimization, there are add-ins or plugins like all-in-one SEO. If you want to have a good commenting system, there's the one like I use on my site at michaelhyatt.com called Discuss, spelled D-I-S-Q-U-S. That's a great plugin. But there's a plugin for about anything you can imagine. But warning, Will Robinson. Remember that from Lost in Space?
No, I don't.
Well, you're too young. Okay, so that was a show when I was growing
up. But thank you. That just made me feel good, the fact that I didn't know that reference.
Gosh. Okay, so anyway, warning with plugins. You can go crazy with this. You can add so many plugins that your site gets slow, starts bogging down, and Google now takes as a part of its algorithm, its SEO algorithm, your site speed, how fast your site loads. And if it loads too slowly, it's not going to get a very high ranking because it's not user-friendly. We've all been to those sites which take forever to load. And plugins will slow it down. And one of the things that we did, Michelle, in the Get Noticed theme that Andrew and I did, we looked at all the most common plugins and we said, let's just build that into the theme itself so you don't need a plugin. And I get asked all the time, people say to me, those share buttons that you have at the top of your blog posts, what plugin are you using? And I say, I'm not using a plugin.
Yeah, I love that. I love that particular feature, actually, is pretty sweet.
Yeah, I like it too. So,
all right. So add the bells and whistles, but a word of caution for those who are listening that adding those plugins and things can really interfere with your upload speed as far as when people come to your site. And so that's something to take into consideration before you add them, and also to take into consideration when you set up your blog and choose a theme. So keep that in mind. So step number seven is?
Publicize your blog. You know, tell your friends. Put your blog address everywhere on your email signature, your business cards, any advertising or promotion you do. If you're in a traditional business where you run traditional ads, then put your blog site on there. I mean, if you don't have a blog site today or if you don't have a website, you don't exist as far as people are concerned. And a blog is a great way to have a corporate website or to have a personal website, but constantly use it. If you're being interviewed on the media, make sure if you don't do anything else, get your URL, your web address out for your blog. That's going to generate traffic. If you have a podcast, you know, like we're doing today, you know, mention your blog so that people can find you. So for me, it was a major inflection point when I started using Twitter and Facebook to publicize my blog. And so when I write a brand new blog post like I did today, I will publicize that on Twitter. So at least twice during the day, usually three times, I will post a link to that new blog post. And I try to have something that's really juicy that entices people to come read it. On Facebook, I'll usually do two posts a day, not more than two. Facebook doesn't like as many as Twitter will tolerate. But use your social media outlets. Make sure that your blog is in your bio or in your profile so that people can get to it, even on Instagram or Pinterest or whatever your favorite social media site is. And in my book, Platform, Get Noticed in a Noisy World, one of the things I share is what I call a social media framework. I talk about the importance of having a home base. And for you, that's a blog. For all of us, that's going to be a blog or a podcast, but most usually a blog. That's your home base. And then you have these embassies, these places that are out in cyberspace that you don't own and you don't control, but you use them to meet new people and refer them back to your home base. And that's how I think of social media, as an embassy.
Yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt. You know, it was so interesting. The other day, my kids come into the kitchen lugging something behind them. And they told me that somebody had delivered a giant newspaper. And I took a look. It wasn't a giant newspaper. It was a phone book. They had never seen a phone book before.
But isn't that crazy?
But it was interesting to me because I thought, you know, 20 years ago, if you wanted to not be invisible, you had your name in the phone book, right? That's where you put your advertisement. Right. That's how people found you. It's not the case anymore. People don't go to phone books. They go to websites. And if you don't have a website, you don't exist, just like what you said.
Yep, exactly.
All right. So publicize your blog is step number 7. What is step number 8?
Step number 8, and you can fail at almost anything, but you can't fail at this. Write regularly. We've all known bloggers. We may be that blogger who got started with a... We may be that blogger that got started with a great burst of enthusiasm, blogged maybe every other day or every other day for a week, and then the frequency started going down. But here's the truth about blogging. If you want to build an audience, consistency is more important than being clever. It's more important than almost anything else. You've got to be consistent. So throttle your enthusiasm at the beginning. And don't sign up in your enthusiasm for more than you can deliver. So, for example, I would really recommend that you get consistent at writing one post a week before you up the frequency. So some people say, no, I'm going out of the gate with 3 a week. I'm telling you, that's hard to sustain. All that has to happen is you hit a little ripple, you know, in your life where things aren't exactly as you planned and you can't keep that pace up. And it dings your trust with your audience. Because the thing about consistency is that it builds your trust. Like I blog Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Sometimes I'll do a kind of a bonus post on Tuesday or Thursday. I've got one going up tomorrow, but that's an anomaly. My commitment is to blog Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I haven't missed that in several years. And the thing that does is it lets people know that they can count on you. And you're consistently in their inbox if they've subscribed to your email newsletter. There's consistently new content, and it's the best way I know to build an audience is just be consistent.
What about the person that really couldn't do 2 or 3 days a week? They can at most do one. Is that still viable?
Totally. I think one is kind of the minimum viable dose. You know, you got to at least do one a week. Otherwise, I don't think people are going to stay with you. You're going to be seen as inconsistent, but you definitely don't have to do one. And when you can do one consistently for a while, you know, kind of through thick and thin, through the ups and downs of your life, then I would click it up, you know, be in this for the long haul. This is a marathon run. Then click it up to 2, make sure you can do that. And then click it up to 3. I've blogged as much. There were times in the past where I was blogging 5 days a week. Actually, there was a 90-day period where I did it 7 days a week just to see if I could pull it off. And I did it for 90 days, didn't miss a single day. But that's not sustainable for me. Worse, it wasn't sustainable for my audience.
I was just going to ask you about that. Have you seen a change in your audience's ability to digest information?
Yeah, I have. And one of the things I do is I try to not be me-centered. I want to be reader-centered. And so to me, the question is not how often can I blog? The question is how often will I be read? What's the optimal frequency for my audience? And my audience tells me that about 3 times a week is about right.
It's perfect for them. And you gain that, I know, just from working with you for so long that you do regular reader surveys to really gauge how they want that content, you know, what they want the content to be about and how they want it to be delivered.
And you'll really see it in email subscriptions and in page views. You know, if those start declining, your audience is trying to tell you something. There needs to be steady growth. There needs to be steady engagement. And if you're not getting that, you need to be asking why. But again, consistency is more important than frequency. So whatever you pick, pick something that you could be consistent at over time.
That you can stick with. All right. So today, Michael has given you his best advice for new bloggers, 8 steps to success. Those 8 steps, just to recap, are 1, determine your blog focus. 2, select a service. 3, set up your blog. 4, write your first post, which we agreed earlier might be the hardest part of this whole process. 5, consider using an offline blogging client. 6, add the bells and whistles. 7, publicize your blog. And 8, write regularly. And you said very clearly that consistency is far more important than the quantity. So whatever you set out to do, make sure you're consistent with it, which we've done another episode talking about building trust with your audience. That consistency is a big piece of building trust.
Definitely.
All right. As we wrap up today's session, I'm curious about any blog changes that you foresee in the future, which I know I'm kind of asking you to pull out your crystal ball and make predictions. But, you know, you've been doing it long enough that you have seen some pretty significant changes over the last 12 years of blogging. What do you see is changing right now? And can you give us an inside peek of anything that you might be considering doing as these changes come about?
Yeah, I would say that 4 or 5 years ago, I was telling people to write 500 word posts. And, you know, the shorter the post, the more likely people would read it. And what I've seen in recent years, last maybe 18 months, is that longer posts are really getting traction. And that's because Google sees them as authoritative and sees them as a major contribution, and so brings them up in the ranks and more people are reading them. And so, I mean, that's one of the things that you'll start seeing more of from us, and we've already begun. That post that I did the other day, what I was talking about, the best iOS apps to use for note-taking with the Apple Pencil on an iPad, that was almost 2,000 words long.
Really? I mean, yeah. I read it, but I didn't know it was that long.
And it got, you know, it got a tremendous amount of engagement. It got more page views than usual, but that's just kind of like an anchor post. And I'll get a lot of, I can promise you, over time, I'll get a lot of organic search traffic from Google because people will look up that topic and they'll come to my post. Same thing with my posts on Evernote. So anything you can do that can be authoritative or you can really research and add value and be comprehensive, I think to occasionally do that and have a strategy for doing that is terrific. I'm also designing now pages that we want to put up that would be more kind of traditional website pages, not specific to a blog. But my blog, for me, is kind of my company page also. So we want to put a page that we can use when we're hiring people. So that talks about our company, and we use it as a recruitment page, really a landing page for selling our company to prospective employees. So that's something that we're designing from the ground up that's coming.
Will that be a page that everybody can see, or will it be a blind page only that those who have the direct link will be able to see it?
I think it's going to be one that anybody could see, but the link to it will not be in the top navigation. It'll be in the bottom navigation because it's kind of a secondary thing. You know, people that are looking for work, we'll use it certainly when we're looking to recruit. We'll use that link in social media and point people back to it, but we want it to be a beautiful landing page, just like we are selling anything else. The other thing that we're looking to do is to create a way that people can create category specific opt-in magnets. So here's what I mean by that. So if you go to my website right now, you know, I try to induce you into signing up for my email newsletter list by giving you some free piece of content, some ebook or something. We want to actually make that by category in the future. So if you've come to a productivity post, there's going to be a productivity opt-in. If you come to a self-development post, there's going to be a self-development opt-in. And we're going to create that capability within the Get Noticed theme so that all the people that are customers of the Get Noticed theme will have that capability as well. So those are just a few things that are coming.
No, that's great. I love that. That's some good insight for all of us to consider. Well, if you have enjoyed today's episode, you can get the show notes and a full transcript at michaelhyatt.com. If you prefer to watch us do this as a recording, you can find the video for this episode at michaelhyatt.com as well. But please do us a favor before you go today. We need you just to take a few seconds to head over to iTunes and rate this particular podcast as well as this particular episode if it was helpful to you. It's just an excellent way to help us get more exposure in the iTunes world and get this information into the hands of people who need it most. And so thank you ahead of time for making that happen for us. We truly appreciate it. And before you go, Michael, do you have any final thoughts for us today?
Yeah, I would just say again, contrary to the myth that blogging is dead, I think it's the single best way to get the word out, to get attention for your message, for your cause, for your brand, is to start a blog that has dynamic new content that people can engage with, get to know who you are, what you're about, and what your expertise is. So blogging is a terrific, terrific tool. Underrated, in my opinion.
Well, and I agree. And the insight that you gave us today will really help all of us to actually maximize this great resource, free resource for the most part that we have in order to reach our audience. So thank you for that, Michael. And for those of you who have joined us and listened in today, thank you for being with us. We don't take for granted the time that you spend sitting with us. We love every moment. Until next time, remember, your life, your one and only life, is a gift. Now go make it count.